Hope you all can see me and hear me though.
Yes, we can.
Okay. Last week when we looked at a few things about the subject of worship, I will share my screen in just a moment here. I want to just review of what we did for our own purpose to continuation purpose. Just the highlights, we looked at the biblical word used in the original language is a verb. What that means, a verb means, this means it is an act or something that we do. And secondly, the worship is very powerful enough to convert an unsaved soul who will come into your assembly, we read in 1 Corinthians 14:25. Words related to worship, some of the words that are connected to worship, either directly or indirectly, we looked at some of those. We looked at the word church, offering, priest, communion or Lord's Supper, meeting or service. These are some of the words that are one way or related to the word worship. Then we started looking at some of the Old Testament examples of worship, such as Abel, Cain and Noah, and we came up to Abraham and started looking at his worship. So this evening we are going to continue looking at Abraham's worship, as we see in the scriptures a couple of places, and look at continue few more in the Old Testament. Perhaps that's all the time we may have tonight to look at. As someone has said, that the highest occupation of a believer must be worship. So it is very important that we understand the biblical pattern of worship, and that will help us to truly worship or examine our hearts to know whether we are in worship or not. Let me go down where we left off last week, and then we continue from there. Can you see my screen? Hello?
Yes, we can see, Uncle.
Okay, very good. So these are some of the things that we looked at last week, but we are going to continue by looking at some more examples of the worship in the Old Testament. When we read through, when we come across a person called Melchizedek, that we are, almost all of us are very familiar with that name and the person. And there are times that we refer to him to know, but sometimes refer to know about worship, or even worship time that we have referred and read about him. Now, let me see if I can click that verse, bring that verse into screen. And this is what we read about him. It's not the full passage, just give us where we are starting to talk about him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." So that's what where we read about Melchizedek. There are a few things to note about him in relation to worship here is, first of all, the word priest comes into the picture very first time in the Old Testament. We see the word priest. Although there was ministry of priest or some people in that, or the ministry or some reference to the ministry of the priest, but the actual word itself, here it is the first time in the Old Testament. that word simply has a general meaning of one who minister in sacred things. This is a familiar thing that we know, that this is not only in Christianity, we also see this being used in all other languages, Hindus have priest, Muslims have priest, and all other major religions have priest to stand between people and God and help them to worship or serve, whatever they do. So that's the general meaning of the word priest. But in this particular case, in Melchizedek, we don't read about death. Why is that? The death is not mentioned simply because it is representing the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives forever. Yes, he came down to the world, he died on the cross. That was not the end of him. He did not end his life there. He lives forever. Therefore, as a true representation of Christ's priesthood, Melchizedek's death is not mentioned in this passage. And then also that therefore it is pointing towards heavenly high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, one who has no beginning, one who has no ending. Now he comes in as a figure of the true high priest. And even today when we were together in worship, excuse me, we were worshiping God through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. We read very extensively about that in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 to 28. Because of the length of the passage, I have not quoted here. We know this passage very well. The writer of Hebrews very extensively talk about the high priestly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and also refers to Melchizedek as the one who came, first appeared to the scene as a priest. Now we come back to Abraham again. Abraham is a person that need to be several times worship or related subjects comes in the Old Testament. So we will look at a couple of more instances of Abraham. In chapter 18 and verse 2, we read like this. Here Abraham is sitting in his tent. Last week he will refer to Abraham's life was always in the tents. Not because he didn't have money to build a mansion or a house or be permanent somewhere, just as his brother Lot chose to be. But he always lived in the tent. One day he was sitting there at the door of the tent. Then we read this. So he lifted up his eyes and looked. Behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. There are several things to be noticed in this part, particular verse. First of all, Abraham, for some reason, he was sitting at the door. Perhaps a practice of, at that time, people who are living in tents, sitting by the door of the tent, and he observed three people coming towards him or standing little far off. Immediately, he recognizes that one of them is the Lord. We don't know exactly which out of the three, or all three are a representation of triune God. We don't know if this is said there. But one thing for sure, the Lord was there. So he recognized him. Why is that? How do we know it was the Lord? Because he went down to them and first thing he did is to bow down or worship. Now, there are scenes in the scriptures that we see if it is an angel, if somebody bows down to worship him, they have always stopped them, saying, "No, don't worship me. I'm not God." So even Apostle Paul, you know, one time we remember that people tried to worship him. So since there was no objection from any one of the three, we can really understand that this was clearly Lord. But beyond that, Abraham's heart was tuned towards God to recognize him. I should confess that a lot of times my problem is when the Lord appears, in some form or fashion, in words or in action, sometimes we don't recognize him. If we recognize it is the Lord, definitely our hearts will be tuned to worship him. We fail to worship because we don't recognize it is the Lord. Now, on a side point, we see God appears to people throughout the scripture, both old and new. Even after the resurrection, the Savior Lord himself chose to reveal himself to his disciples. And people worshipped him as soon as they recognized him, it was the Lord. So God talks to people, God reveals himself to people, and even today it happens. Although generally speaking, in our circles, we don't believe in such dreams and wonders because there is always a danger of going to the other extreme. That doesn't mean God's speaking to people today. Some of you know, at least, have heard of a man called Sadhu Sundar Singh back home in India. He came to the Lord. He never had opportunity to hear the gospel or any other thing, but the Lord personally contacted him or somehow revealed to him, and he came to know him. He was used mightily of the Lord in India at the time. So if you read his story, it is very challenging. So what I meant to say is God really appears. I believe God was there this morning. He revealed himself to us as we were sitting around the table. But I wonder how many of us really truly recognized him and truly opened our heart to worship. So Abraham bowed down and worshiped him. So when a person worships God, the worshiper is abased, meaning counted less. And the person whom we are worshiping is counted higher than us. That thought should be the key when we come to worship the Lord. I think I may have said this often, or at least a few times at the chapel itself. There are times people will come to worship meeting or the Lord's Supper or on Sunday morning, come around and look at and enjoy everything, or watch what's going on, take part from the Lord's table, go home and not worship. That is quite possible. I have done it myself in my life at least sometime. It is very possible that we did not see the Lord revealed himself in and through the scriptures and the songs and the verses that we read in our prayers. If you don't see him, if you don't recognize him, we will not worship. What caused our hearts to worship is the majesty and the glory and the revelation of himself through his son when we come and remember him. So this is a great truth from the example of Abraham. From a very distant, not even the Lord come close to him yet, but he was able to recognize and worship him. Wonderful truth about Abraham's God's revelation, revealing himself to Abraham in that scene. Now we come to the world famous chapter of worship that I have heard many times in my own young life, as well as I have used this passage. Is Abraham and Isaac in chapter 22. I'm not going to take time to read many of these passages because these are very, very well known to most of us. In this passage, we have all the components of worship. All the components of worship is evident or available in this passage. Abraham is the worshiper. God himself is the person who receives the worship. And they were both at the same location, same place. Isaac is the sacrifice. And remember, that was the very best that Abraham had. It is an important point to ponder about. when we offer worship to God, it should come out of our heart as the very best we can, because He offered His very best for us. Is your sacrifice or your worship, is it the very best? To be the very best, it has to meet some of these components that we are going to look through. So it includes shedding of blood. Well, it doesn't mean that you and I bring an sacrifice next Sunday morning. That is already done. The shedding of blood for on our behalf is already done. And the next component is, it is in a mountain called Moriah, as we know. That simply means a little closer to God and away from the world, in a place that is separated and with God. Well, we can be in the midst of 200 people, but our heart can be fully concentrated and be alone with God and behold Him in His beauty and majesty, and then alone we can worship. Sometimes we try to, I try to get into an emotional mode and think that I am worshiping. Yes, there is emotions in worship. I do more than any one of you, but that doesn't mean itself is worship. But here the next component is a separated time in a distant mountain, meaning I'm not suggesting we should go to the Himalayas, but even among the 200 people's gathering, we can be in a mountain alone with God if our heart is tuned for that. So the next component that we see here, there was an altar, there was fire. And this is already done for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been offered on the altar or sacrificed, and He went through the fire of God's judgment for us, and it is completed. And the next component in here in this chapter is He is preparing to worship. Several things are in that preparation we see. We know very often we quote that passage and that sentence, Abraham rose up very early in the morning. Preparation to worship is a must. There are godly men that I was associated with, in my life, have often said we should not plan on major events or meetings on Saturday night. People of God should be preparing themselves for worship. Whatever it takes for tomorrow, it is not only for Sunday morning, but at least on a corporate worship time, we should be spending time in the Lord and in His presence, preparing our spirit and body and the necessities to make sure we can be in the meeting on the Sunday morning with a prepared heart. Now I'm going to give you an example. We need to be putting away all other things from our mind. And I try to do as much as I can, but there we have other things going on around us. This morning my mind was all thinking about the road on driving, coming to the chapel. Suddenly somebody texted me asking a question about some house or building for sale somewhere. My mind was totally redirected to that for a few moments. I said, what in the world is he asking me on a Sunday morning about these kind of things? What I'm trying to say is we should concentrate our minds and our thoughts in preparation to worship. If it takes to early rising up, yes, that is what it should be done. I can say more things about that, but I am going to keep going. So the components of worship, almost all of the components are available to us in this one chapter of worship. Now, Abraham had wood. He prepared the wood. That is part of the preparation he did. But he did not bring it and put it on the mountain as a pile, but it was placed in order. Worship has to be orderly. It cannot be just, anything goes. I don't know, with that many years ago when I was here, early arrival of this country, there was a show on TV that all stars, anything goes. The stars can come and they can do whatever they want. Anything goes. That is not worship. It is not the place that anything goes. Worship has to be orderly according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I mean, this subject may come later on, but let me make a side comment here. The only worship leader in our midst should be the Holy Spirit. No man or woman should take the place of worship leader and take away that work from the Holy Spirit. If that happens, we will end up in anything goes. If the Holy Spirit is in control, worship will be orderly and will bring glory and honor to Him. Now, the next component is a substitute is provided representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we know this subject very, very dearly, all of us. I am just not going to take a lot of time to comment on it. We have been given a substitute for offering, which is done once and for all. And the amazing thing about this chapter is now they are coming back. Isaac is alive. Just like you and I are alive and well in our spirit for eternity. What a thought that it is. They went to worship, but he is still alive. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who offered himself, he's alive forevermore. There is a song like that. But in each of these examples, worship is a result of God's revelation of himself to the individual in some way. in all the previous examples that we looked at from the Old Testament, it is God's revelation. Also in this chapter, many times when we read through, there is God talking to Abraham, listening, and all these components of worship is there. We can easily get carried away with all other things in this worship components, and we don't talk much about God himself who is talking. He himself revealed there when Abraham was there. So our thought and concentration should be him and him alone. And it should reveal the glory of God. Sometimes, you know, people tell stories and other things we find in the books or internet. It is not, well, it will only, you know, build up our emotion. That is, I'm not going to say it is good or bad, but is it revealing the glory of God when we come to him, when we try to worship him? Now we go on. Those are the components that I believe almost all of the components of worship is present in Genesis 22. Now we see in the book of Exodus, other forefathers, I will not be going into each individual of these, such as Isaac, Jacob, and others who also did build the altar and worshiped God from time to time. In all of those times, we can see at least part of these components are already present. In all these worships, we have the example of where the heart needs to be. Where is my heart when I come to worship? In all these passages of examples that we looked at, the concentration, the main point of the important point is, where is my heart when it has to be at the right place in the right moment? Then and then alone we can understand something about and how to go about to worship. If you fail, if you are convicted that you failed to worship, you need to start looking at two things. Where was my heart? Was it concentrating on the beauty of singing, or the person who is speaking, or all other circumstances that contributes to worship? Or was my heart tuned to see and behold the majesty and the glory of God himself, who reveals to us through his Son? So heart Where is my heart is the key point to ponder. In the worship of Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we get an initial idea of the components and foundation of worship. These are some of the components we looked at so far, just to summarize it. A prepared heart with a desire to worship. Recognizing God and his glory. An altar represents a place. A sacrifice representing for us, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. A physical preparations. Abraham rose up early in the morning, got the wood ready, and all other things associated with his preparation. A mountain representing a separation from the world. For most of them, it was instant worship. When and how? As soon as God revealed to them. There was nobody had to say, hey, brother, please worship. As soon as God was revealed to them, the heart was tuned towards him. The worship was instant. I mean, this is not only on Sunday morning sometime. There are times in our life as we are in a personal level from time to time. Maybe it is a song or a message or something that comes to your mind that will bring, God will speak to you in such a way that our hearts will tune or turn to worship. So it's not a one-time event on a Sunday, although it is a corporate worship time. So the components of worship is extremely important to study from the Old Testament examples we have. Now, looking at some of the characteristics of worship, is an offerer is needed, of course, that is a believer, you and me. Yeah, as a believer, we are the renewed in Christ. Now, we looked at Noah last week. What did Noah do? The very first thing, as soon as a renewed a person, in the sense of escaping from the judgment and coming out of the ark, as a renewed person, the very first thing Noah did is to worship God. That should be our highest occupation, as I said at the beginning. And then, as a believer, a willing heart, a willing person. It is a first action as a believer, saved from the judgment, abides in the wilderness. We are sojourners. There are a few things we may look at if time permitting. We are abiding in wilderness. Yes, I moved into a house, I'm living in a house, but we are in this wilderness of this world as sojourners. Sometimes do I forget that too. We are strangers and pilgrims in this world. We have sufficient teachings and messages on these subjects, so I will not take much time. We know we are strangers. We should be strangers. We should treat ourselves and that mindset of strangers and pilgrims in this world. Now, the other day we saw that Abraham was between Ai and Bethel, Ai representing the world and Bethel representing the house of God. His heart was tuned towards Bethel, and world should be behind us when we come to worship, when our heart is tuned to worship. If not, let me warn you, you can come, I can go, participate, do everything that look right, and go home without truly worshiping. So we see a person who does all this, and then he bows down, or use the word bow down there was translated, the actual meaning is worship. Now the second characteristic is a receiver of the offering. Who are we worshiping? Of course, God himself. An offering is given. Our offering is already done deal. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. That which shows a death, he meets that. That which shed blood, he did that for us. That which has a value, that he is incomparable in holiness and in everything else we can think of, he was the very heart of God, the very Son of God himself. That which is clean and perfect, no one else can match that other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That which is first and the best. Again, another side note there. Is worship your first priority? If it is it the best that you can do for the Lord? Give. Is your worship the very best? I cannot answer for you. You can answer yourself, or the Lord can probably know this already. First and the best. And in some of the offerings, the richest part is offered to God, not the wasteful part, the richest part. And it is always lifted up as a worship to God. So the offering itself is one of the characteristics of worship. Now, there is fire for the offering. I tell you, if there is no fire in your heart to worship, you will not worship. That the one person that helps to us to worship is the Holy Spirit. Who else other than the Holy Spirit knows how to help us to worship, how to lead us to be our worship leader? Who else can do that? To put a fire in our heart to worship, it is none other than the Holy Spirit himself. Well, other characteristics is a high priest. In those days, there was priest serving and high priest was there. But we have someone, our high priest, who has entered into his presence of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This morning when we worshipped through him, our high priest who is on the right hand of God. Now, preparation. We already looked at it. It's rising early. These are out of the characteristics. Reflection on Christ in his life and death. That should be our concentration, and not to talk about anything else. Not to, give it, there are some denominations have in the worship meeting, the prime, if you go there, I've been there, they have nothing but testimonies of what God did for me. He healed me. He gave me food. He gave me job, all other things, although those are all good things, but that is not worship. It's a reflection on Christ in his life and death, and revealing God, revealing himself through him, and our heart tuned to worship. And the place is also important. God's presence should be there. Place in the sense of, when I went to Africa a few years ago, the very first assembly was established under a small tree. So the place where means that it's not reference to it. It is God's presence. The altar, the mountain, and the wilderness all shows the separation from the world and communion with God. Some more a few more examples. We come to the tabernacle in the Old Testament. Wilderness worship of God's people. We know we are in the wilderness. We are sojourners, as we looked before. And the tabernacle was given to the Old Testament saints. And one of the things is a great deal of detail is given how this meeting place was to be built. It amazes me. Exodus chapter 25 to 31, that's six chapters, and a few 35 to 40. If you read that, what a detail was given how to build the tabernacle. It is not that somebody can, the best architect can come and say, I know better than, Aaron or other priests who are trying to say, or Moses who are trying to do something. There may be best architect and available. No, it is God who would put this together and how this need to be built. And verse to chapter 25, verse 8 to 9, I quoted here, and let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you. And that statement is repeated again in the chapter, verse 40. And let them make a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you. It actually shows the seriousness God himself put into this when we are worshiping. Evidently, it was quite important to God that the pattern be carefully followed, and it is a lesson for us. In Hebrews 8:5, we read this copy of what we just talked about, the tabernacle, and shadow of heavenly things, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And also this tabernacle was meant to be portable, meaning the reflection of the pilgrim character of God's people. That means if they move from one place to another, the tabernacle goes along with them and worship continues. Unfortunately, there are people who move from place to place and they do not give the priority to see, is there a place that I can truly worship with the saints? When you choose job or college or parents, listen to me carefully. Let me give you a humble advice. If your children are going from place to other place, please make sure there is a worship place where they can truly worship according to the scripture. Just because the college is the best in the world, I have experienced my own life that people who made such choices, there was no assembly to worship. Yes, they learned, they became the best in everything they learned, but they lost the worship of God while they were there, or they ended up in some denomination or some church, and that happened. So that is an important thought to think about, that the tabernacle is portable. And that means they, wherever they moved, worship went along with them. Very serious matter to consider. We are pilgrim people also, whose home is in the heavenlies and whose sacrifices are spiritual. Do we still offer sacrifices? Yes, we do. Our sacrifices are spiritual. My time is almost up. I'll wrap up in a momentarily here. We'll try to pick it up from there. Well, I should stop it here. The next one example is the ark and the mercy seat inside the tabernacle. There's great amount of things about that we can look at. So let me wrap up here with this thought, with the tabernacle and the wilderness worship of God's people. You and I clearly live in a wilderness. You and I clearly move from place to place. Is our priority is to worship our God wherever I go? Is that all possible? I understand there are times that impossible time comes that we may not be able to go to a worship meeting. But if there is anything within your control, we must make sure that we do take worship seriously, and go wherever we go, we must be carrying on to worship the Lord. Hope it is helpful to you. Just it has been more challenging to me myself. Take the question of worship. We will, Lord willing, we will continue a few more things, and we'll come to the link between old and the New Testament worship, hopefully before we complete the study. Lord bless you. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you this morning, this evening, that you brought us together to look at your scriptures. We rejoice that you have brought us to this. Even this morning, that your script word was challenging us to know what God has done to us. Oh, Father, we pray that we may take this seriously, that we may take the worship of such a God who done so much and loved us so much, even we were undeserving, that we may be found faithful in worshiping every day of our life, especially in the gathering of God's people together. We commit us to the throne of grace. We give you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.